Hello and welcome to See Nobody Cares, the podcast where we talk about whatever we want because no one is listening to us anyway. Today is episode 17, and I am your host, Ollie Schaus. With me, as always, the peanut butter to my jelly, the captain to my tennille, the Millie to my vanilla, the man who needs no introduction, but he's getting one anyway, ball game.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday, I guess. It's Wednesday here, but it's Thursday when we record, so I'll say Thursday.
Perfect. So, as you all know, we started our Insider Series last week with the amazing Pizza Beard Party, Jake Holland. And I think we followed up with an even bigger name. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Ballgame, introduce our guest this week.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, please get your flippers and your tail flukes ready. Put them together for the one, the only, whale hunter, Aaron Williams. What's going on, Aaron?
What's up, guys? Hey, happy to be here. How's everything going?
I can't complain.
Never mind, because nobody cares. Nobody cares. I've been waiting to say that, dude.
Oh, so you set us up. You set us up. All right. Well, bye, Aaron. It's good having you on.
I feel famous. I don't know how to follow Jake, but we'll do what we can.
But we only go bigger here. So
yeah. That, go big or go home. See next.
True story. So, Aaron, you've been around in Insiders for a while here. What brought you to Roosevelt's in the first place?
So a buddy of mine, actually, Carrington Mead, gifted me like 2-3 Roosevelts, like randomly. Like one year I got one, then he gave me another one. And then he gave me when he was giving me my last one, we were having a conversation. It was October of 2020. And he just randomly happened to mention that Toy Story was dropping like the next day. And I'm like, what? Toy Story? Are you like Disney Toy Story? Like real? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I'm in. And literally, I think it was a Tuesday or Thursday. I can't remember. But I logged in, got the app, and the madness began. And after I made my first purchase, which was Woody, I got the invite, the email to join the Insiders. What's unique to me is even when you get your friends in, very rarely do you invite them to Insiders, which I think is weird. Or maybe he just didn't invite me. Who knows? But who cares anyway, right? I got in and yeah, the madness began.
And here you are. What?
Here I am, years later, spending way too much money and buying way too many shirts.
Now, what was your first thought when you got into Insiders and you saw people just posting selfies and shirts and you started to see all these, the greater catalog of shirts on display?
So interesting enough, I was a social guy before I got to Insiders. Okay, I know people. Yeah, I drive people crazy with all of my posts or whatever. But like, it's not a insider facade. Like, I didn't come in Insiders and say, "Oh, I need this attention. I'm gonna post." Like, it's who I am. It's my social media in general. So it didn't. I was like, "This is cool." Like other people that like to see themselves in photos. Like, this is great. I think I was not prepared for the collector's aspect of Roosevelt's. I remember the first drop was fine, Toy Story. I think the drop that like brought it home for me, like, no, like this shit is real. Like this is a real thing, was the Shining drop. Bro. Oh. I mean, that was like, oh my God, like these people are crazy. Like the comments and the people upset. And believe it or not, I scored on that drop, which I was a rookie, had no idea what I was doing. And I scored the shirts. And so it was like, shit just got real here. Like, and I'm here for it. So it was delightful for me, actually. In the beginning, I caught on very quick. You know, that you had your OGs and your newbies, but that was like $20,000 later. Don't tell my wife, but yeah.
She's totally a listener, right? Listens to us, right?
She'll listen because I'm on here for sure, right? Maybe.
Hey, any way to get a new follower. I mean, if we got to do this one wife at a time to get our followers, that's right. This is how we're going to do it. So for me, the first real drop I was part of, because I had gotten a couple shirts here and there off the site, mm-hmm. and then I had joined Insiders, and it was the Batman Series 2 drop. I was working when it dropped. I was at a customer's house actually measuring their windows.
Okay.
And it hit, and I was like, oh, I'll check it out later, right? And so I got to my car 15 minutes later, and the Lil Wayne's was gone.
Gone.
I was like, that was the coolest shirt. And so I got all the other ones came. I got them in the mail. I was like, I still need that Lil Wayne shirt. And so I got on the restock later, but I remember like, oh my gosh, I have a problem now. This is going to be a thing, huh?
Yeah, no doubt.
So you got into Insiders. You shared your photos. You made some connections with people. How long before you joined the buy-sell trade group?
I probably joined the buy-sell trade group probably a couple of weeks after being in, hearing people talk about it, right? Or you'll post, I'm looking for something, because you're new, so you're stupid. You don't know that you can't post it there, right? So I can't tell you how many times I got put on post approval when I first got there. So it's funny now, like when I'm trying to help people, I'm like, no, I'm helping you because I've done it, right? Like I've been on post approval so many times. I remember the first time I posted a picture of me in a Fanatic shirt. At this time, Roosevelt's wasn't selling on Fanatic's platform, but I posted a picture and I was like, basically like, hey, I'm going, you know, I got to go to work to pay. This is how I pay for these shirts type of thing. I can't remember the exact post.
And taken down.
And then they took it down. I got this thing and I was like, wait a minute, we're not your competitor. Like I went and I read the rules again. Maybe I didn't read it right the first time, but I was like, we're not a competitor. Like this isn't spam. So it was funny. And I got in my feelings just like most people do the first time their post is taken down. And then I caught on, but then some things I did anyway, because that's what we do. Right? We're like, I want to say this anyway, and I don't care if I get put on post approval. I know that people do that all the time, you know, lots of people trolling or whatever. So then I got over to BST, and what a mistake that was. God, another couple of thousands. Always teasing. It's definitely not a tease, but I was a 3X when I started in Roosevelt's, and I have paid some people's mortgages. I have paid their car notes because I wanted what I wanted. And if it was $500, so I laugh now when I put up, you know, a mad scientist for $300 and people are like, oh, I'll give you $250. Well, you won't get this shirt. You know, it's like, no, like I paid the first mad scientist I had. If I didn't get the drop, if it was a 3X, you know, I would have paid $500 for it easily and wouldn't have even, you know, blinked or had a second thought about it. So prices now, you know, I laugh at them, but yeah, I spend a lot of money in BST. And actually that's how I ended up getting the nickname Whale Hunter. And I'm sorry, I can't remember who first called me that. I'm sure they'll come forth. But I just remember basically I was chasing whales. I had to have, and I've owned what I consider a whale. And you know, everybody, we can talk about that later. Everybody has a different definition of what a whale is. For me, it was the older shirts, which I actually love. I love.
Amen. 100%.
Yep. Agreed.
I love, you know, God, what's another? Sex Panther, Flamingo. Like, I love the old school stuff. Chomp is still one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And these are shirts that Cherry Blossom, Dragon Flower, like, those, I actually love those shirts. And I was like, I'm going to have them. Beverly Kills, still waiting on that in Akunu. So Steel Desk is the only whale that has eluded me that I've wanted. Guy had one when I was a 2X. I'd sold my house and I offered him $1,000. God, I hope my wife doesn't listen to this. I offered him $1,000 for this shirt because I had to have it. It was the only one I wanted that I had not owned. I had got no data. It took me forever, but I finally got it. And he was so close, but he's like, you know, I think I'm going to hold on to it. And he's either holding it because he knows it's going to be worth more money, or he's holding it. He said, you know, it had a sentimental value to him. I get it. You know, I don't want to take people's shirt. You know, MJ rookie card has a sentimental value to me. The first meetup shirt that I went to in Hoboken, it had sentimental value to me. So I totally, totally get that. But man, I wanted that shirt so bad because that would have ended my quest. But I didn't get it. So here I am.
How long ago did you make that offer?
That would have been, I've been in my house, I think my new house, 2 years now. So probably 2 years ago.
Okay. Mm. Now, so if you have, Aaron, a, if you're you have a, go ahead, Ollie.
Aaron, you're an XL now, right?
I am.
Well, we all know a person out there that has an extra large steel desk.
Well, I know who has it. Joycelyn has it, but she won't sell it to me. Trust me, I know who has everything. I have tried, and I have not caught her at the right time yet, so she just taunts me with it. She brings it to Jacksonville to wear. You know, she brings it to Orlando to wear. So, yeah, I think she enjoys taunting me with it. So, yeah, I know exactly where that thing lies. But if you know of another one, you send them my way.
No, that's the only one. That's the only one I was thinking of.
There's a thin line here between passion and obsession. Where do you think you lie?
I would say now I'm probably passionate, but I would say 3 years ago when I first got in, or has it been 4 years now? I don't know, 2020, I was obsessed. I mean, listen, I was paying $500 for shirts like it was water. I also lived in a smaller house with a much, much cheaper mortgage. So my expendable income was nuts. And listen, I know, I'm going to say the elephant in the room. I know people were like, where did this black guy come from? And where does he get his money? I know people were saying that. I know people were thinking like, what does he do for a living? Because I was dropping, God. And on top of that, guys, I was buying every freaking shirt from every damn drop. Every week.
That's a trap. That is a trap.
Oh, man, listen. Oh, man. I mean, to think now that I am a little, well, I've got some in the mail, but I am around, I try to stay around the 100 mark. I may be, as of today on hand, well, no, I got some in the laundry. So I'm probably at 101 something right now. But I was at 385 and I was like, this is nuts. There's only 365 days. And one of the things I've come to realize is there are some shirts you love more than others. And so I don't want to just get to wear La Serena one time a year. I don't want to get to wear Arcade Carpet one time a year. Like, I want to be able to wear them, you know, twice or three times. And of course, meetups helped me with that because I change every, you know, however often.
Every 2 hours.
yeah. I got a method to it depending on how long. When I go to Disney for May 4th, I change every hour. And this year we're going to do rope drop. So that gives me more hours to change. All of my Star Wars shirts.
Aaron, so you said at your height, you were in the high threes for total number of shirts. Now, that's how many you held at one time. If you were going to ballpark it for us, how many shirts altogether do you think you have owned in total? Now, I know you don't have probably a firm number, but ballpark, because you've sold a ton.
Even
you've reacquired,
in multiples, right?
Yeah, like, even in multiples. Total number of shirts purchased over your 4 years.
Oh, God, James. Ooh.
Kamala, don't listen to this next number, please. Turn it off.
owned in total. So if you figure if my height was 400, I'm going to seriously say, I mean, I've literally flipped collections, right?
Yeah.
3X to 2X, back to 3X, back to 2X, and then to extra large. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 5,000 or more easily.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's nuts.
I mean, I think I have purchased the same shirt from you on two different occasions because, you know, you wear it, you sell it, you know, oh, I want that shirt again. So you're also not afraid to let a shirt go knowing that you can get it back if you want it back.
Absolutely. You know, people tease all the time. Oh, you just owned that. You just had that. And, you know, the thing of the matter is I've come to realize that because I've made relationships and I make connections with people, You can put it in search of, not you particularly, but a person can put it in search of and be searching for, you know, 3 months. Jeff Norris, he said it, so it's not like he searched for Seattle Floral in 3X for 3 months before he hired me. And finally, I got it in a day. So, I mean, if someone loves, I let Mad Scientist go today, okay? I like Mad Scientist. I think it's a great shirt. I've owned it probably 8 times, if we're honest. So why not let that go, use that money to get another whale that I'm chasing that I feel like I will appreciate and wear more? I mean, I don't know why it's such a big deal to people. Plus, they're my shirts. If I want to sell them, it's my business, right? You either buy it or you don't. But people get in arms about that, man. They're like, you just had that shirt. Why are you selling it? Or, you know, if I'm looking for it again, why are you looking for it? Well, because this guy's been looking for 3 months. I gave him a good deal. I let him buy it. And now I can search for it myself. I just did that with doors. I sold doors and I just had a brand new one delivered today. Like, I mean, it's a gift. I don't know. It's a gift. And I don't mind helping people because, you know, it's interesting. People have asked me for whales, what their whale was. That was like a normal shirt for me. So I call them, people tease me. I call shirts, they're either a whale or a fish for me. Like, there is no in between. It's either a fish, and a fish is a shirt that I can easily catch, right? You can't catch a whale easily, but you can catch a fish. I mean, if you get the right bait, you know. And so I tell people all the time, I've taught a lot of my friends, sell your fish, bruh, and get your whale. You can always go back and get your fish, man. Make the sacrifice.
I learned that lesson, I think, from you a year and a half, 2 years ago. Like, hey, like, I want a shirt that costs $200 or, you know, that's expensive. But you know what? I got 3 or 4 shirts in my closet that I like, maybe I don't love. Let me sell those 3 or 4 and let me get my whale.
Absolutely.
So there are fish that do become whales. I think doors is a prime example of that. 2 years ago, you could get doors $80 on BST shipped. Like, nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. And then all the Disney folks joined the group, which nothing against them. I'm a Disney guy myself. You're a Disney guy. Mm-hmm. But overnight, that became a $200 shirt. And then it was a $250. And then it's like a $300 shirt. And so sometimes those little fish do become big whales.
But, you know, do we want to talk about what makes a fish a whale?
Let's do it.
Okay. So there are a number of factors that influence the price of a shirt and the demand of the shirt, right? So when new insiders come in, Disney or not, right? It could be a regular shirt. I'm trying to think of a shirt that was like an original that was okay and then kind of, well, Arcade Carpet. Arcade Carpet drops. People get it. Oh, I hate this shirt. They're selling it on BST for pennies. And then the demand comes in, or one person can turn a shirt into a whale. I'll give you the best example that I can think of most recently, because I was like, these people are nuts. Whale Shark. Freddie P starts looking for it because he wants it. He needs it in his size, okay? Whale Shark, underrated. It's a great shirt. I did not appreciate it, believe it or not, until he started like really looking for it. I wasn't going to pay big money for it, but I was like, it actually is a really nice shirt.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
But it ain't a whale shirt for me. Like, I don't care that there's a whale shark on it. It's not. But him, he drove the demand for that shirt because he continued to look day after day, week after week. Sometimes I sell people stuff because I'm tired of seeing their in search of post for it. I'm like, God, if they post one more time for this shirt. And so, you know, they will wear me down like that. But one person can do that. Doors, it's exactly what you said, right? I remember Doors was selling for $80, $85, right? Also, Roosevelt controls that. When a shirt does not restock and new people come in and want it, the demand for it goes up, and with demand goes a price increase.
Yeah,
that's just
right.
How things work in the world of BST.
Think about the Top Gun shirt Wingman, right? How long was Wingman available on their website? How many years was Wingman on their website?
Same with 24K.
Right. They were there. And I got email after email, Facebook ad after Facebook ad for, and then I could have bought it for like $55. That was the going price. And never did. Finally bought my first shirt. A year later, get into the group, start research. And then I need this Wingman shirt. And it's selling for $300 on BST.
Exactly what I paid for my 3X when I got in the game in 2020. So all of those were before me. 24K, all of the OGs that I really love were way before my time. But yeah, there's a couple of shirts where people have talked about how they sat on the website. But I think you have some people that had that collector's mentality, and I think they knew before Roosevelt's even knew what it would become. And these are the people that have Knew It tagged Las Arenas sitting around, okay? Mm-hmm. Knew It tagged Fight Night sitting around. They were waiting on this day. They were waiting on dummies like me to come in. And they're like, here you go. Knew It tags. How much? 500. What's your Venmo? Here we go. You know, and good on them. Good on them. I think people have to realize when it comes to BST, and I think it's what people miss coming in, is that for some people, it is about collecting the shirts. And for some people, flipping the shirt, as people like to say, because people think I flip shirts, and I really don't flip shirts. I'm typically selling it to you for what I paid for it, right?
Or like, less.
I didn't buy it at $75 and I'm giving it to you for $300 or $350. I typically am selling for what I paid for, a lot of times a lot less. I think most people know on BST, if I want to sell something, I'm going to sell it. That's probably one of the most unique things about me, versus some of you guys will sit on that shit for weeks and weeks at a time. And I'll tell you, I'm over here like, bruh, it ain't gonna sell. You're too high, or you're in the wrong market. You can't sell Christmas in the summertime and think you're gonna get premium prices that you would get October, November. So, you know, there's so many tricks to the trade, but I think people have to realize, listen, if you don't want to pay more than retail for a shirt, or you're not willing to, be okay not having it. Be okay not having it. Don't be upset at the person that was quicker than you on the computer. This ain't a sympathy game. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, people want insiders to have them. There are some people that do, but most people with common sense and economy skills are not going to sell you a shirt that they know is valued at $250 and $300 for $75 just because you're going to wear it. So what? Like, sorry.
So Aaron, I want to get your thoughts on this. I think, you know, I've been in insiders since 2021, and I kind of see a cyclical pattern. I noticed it with myself first, and then talking to some of my buddies. We kind of see like the cycle. People come, they get into the group due to licensed shirts. Like for me, it was Top Gun and Ghostbusters and Back to the Future. You come in because of some licenses, you see other licenses, Star Wars, Disney, you get really excited, and then you build your collection out, but then you start to learn about the OG shirts, the original collections, and then you start chasing whales. And right now I feel like we're in the middle of a big Disney boom and mm-hmm. con boom due to like lots of new Disney shirts with their partnership, lots of new Star Wars shirts, they're going to all these cons, they're meeting new people, but mm-hmm. I feel like we're right on the precipice of another OG boom where people are really going to start chasing some of these OG whales again. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think so. There's one guy, I won't even say his name, but he actually said to me, like, man, I realized I like the OG almost even to the point of the OG polys. Like, he doesn't care. I want it. I want what Bloody Mary. I want, you know, Flamingo in whatever form I can get it in. I want, you know, Grandma's couch when you look at the rayon. So, yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think the license is what pulls people in, because obviously there's a much broader span when they're advertising licensed stuff, right? Disney people are getting it versus the unlicensed stuff. You got to really already be here and be, you know, hooked on it. So as you start to see people wear them, that's when you're like, oh, I need that. You know, if you look at the meetup shirt from Jersey, you know, somebody from Jersey's like, oh, I need that shirt. Like, I'm from Jersey. I need that meetup shirt. And so then it's just what you say. And so, you know, BST is cycles. Everything is in cycles. And so, yes, you'll get that influx, right? I mean, right now I can put a Disney shirt up and I can sell it in less than 10 minutes, literally. I can put an OG up and it might sit a minute or two. Just depends on who's seeing it and who's looking. It is definitely much easier to sell Disney than it is to sell the OG originals, because unfortunately the new people don't have the appreciation that I do for the OGs.
Did you see the OG shirt that sold this morning for $20 on BST?
I did. Now, keep in mind, size is a dictator in everything. So a small shirt, first off, small and medium market is like low level. Like you're not getting rich. You're not flipping smalls and mediums. I don't care who you are. This is why you see small guys with extra large, 2X and 3X. And I'm like, I know you don't wear that size. So you bought it. You didn't buy it for your cousin. You know, you didn't buy it for your mother. You bought it to flip, and I'm okay with that. Tell me what you want for it, but don't give me the excuses. I really don't care. That's probably one of the most unique things. I don't care why you're selling it. I'll be honest with you. I love you. I love animals. I love your cousin. I love your car. I love all of that. But I am in BST to do business. I don't want to read a long story.
My cousin needs money because his car broke down, because he got rear-ended, a cat was crossing the road while he was taking his wife to the hospital. He's got bills to pay.
I don't care. Like, I literally do not. I don't care that your car is broke. I don't care that you need to pay bills. As a matter of fact, it really makes me think people are irresponsible with their money when I see those kind of posts. You have never seen me give you a whole long story on what, other than I'm chasing a whale.
Yeah. All right. Hang on one second. You're actually stepping into a new segment for us. So I got to launch the segment before we go. You know, James and I were talking like, hey, we're going to have Aaron on here. Obviously, we're going to talk about BST. You know, he is the go-to expert when it comes to buying and selling shirts on resale. So we put together this segment, and we're going to call it That's Some BST. So hot takes and tips from the whale hunter himself. That's some BST.
So let's talk about selling first, right? So you're selling a shirt. The shirt needs to look like you took care of it, even if you didn't. Okay, buttons are a thing for me. I think somebody a couple of weeks ago talked about the presentation. People, they're like, you know, like button the shirt up, or if you're gonna fold it, make it a nice fold. One of the things I've worked on is my lighting. So this week when I sold stuff, I went outside because it just looks really good. The lighting in my house sucks, and I don't like the way sometimes the color doesn't show up well. But if I go outside, like, it's beautiful. Understand everybody can't do that. But the presentation is everything. I have skipped whales because I'm like, there is no way in hell I'm giving you $500 for a half-ass looking shirt. Like, it's not buttoned up. It looks like it's hanging. It looks like it's, like, hanging off of the hanger. I don't even judge people's hangers on BST, though. At least have it on the hanger. It needs to look light, nice. And then your pricing. People, stop trying to sell a shirt that's in stock for more than what a coupon gets it to me for. Why? And I'm using the coupon, and I'm getting points, reward points. People, come on, do the math. It's really simple. People aren't doing their homework. And, you know, some people, I will inbox and be like, hey, are you okay with me giving you a tip? Other people are like, you know, like, basically kick rocks, dude. And I'm like, no problem. And so when their shirt's still up there 3 weeks later, I'm like, well, I tried to help you. Pricing is important. Presentation, pricing, and leave out your drama story. We don't care. Most of the time, no one believes you. I'll just be honest with you. No one believes you. I'm not going to buy a shirt from you because you need to pay a vet bill. Like, I'm not. I don't care. Is it a good shirt? Is it a shirt that I want? And is your pricing right? Focus on your pricing and stop wasting time giving me a book and sell shirts. People are there to buy shirts. They're not there to hear your life story.
Let me interject for a second. So Aaron is dead on, 100% balls accurate. And if you're not understanding where he's coming from, if you go onto BST, we know there's lots of good people on BST, and people go through hardships. People have hard times. Bad things happen to good people. But if you go on BST and you read, it can get really depressing really quick because everybody's grandma is having a hard time. Everybody's dog and cat is having a bad time. Everybody's car is broken down. You would think we're living in a third world country where everybody is hungry and starving because there are all exactly. These sob stories. And it has gotten a little bit out of control
You know what? And we know real people that have those actual problems in their life, and they're not putting that in their posts. You know, it's almost like I hope these people are being honest when they're saying this stuff. I still don't want to hear about it when I'm just looking to buy a shirt. Like, can you imagine if you went into, I don't know, freaking any store at the mall, like you're in, I don't know, what's in a mall? I haven't been in a mall in forever. Dillard's. You're going to Dillard's.
Wetzel's Pretzels.
But they don't sell shirts there. But I guess that Wetzel's Pretzels, you know, you go up to the counter and they're like, well, yeah, I really need to sell two pretzels because, you know, my mom is sick and I got to go see her. And like, you wouldn't buy that pretzel. You get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just too much.
Well, the other thing,
I am not against helping people. So please hear my heart. But I'm not coming to BS. I don't care. It doesn't convince me to buy your shirt one way or the other. It really does. Your price and your presentation are what convinced me to buy your shirt.
Okay, right. So price, presentation, obviously the shirt itself is important. So you've made the deal, right? You've sold a shirt on BST. What are your next steps, Aaron? Teach us your ways.
So I immediately, and most people know this, unless I'm not at home, immediately pack up the shirt. My wife got me two Christmases ago, a printer and a scale. So I print from home now. For years, I went to the post office. I get some people still have to do that. But if you literally, if you are selling every week, you're selling all the time. If you got one or two off, you're not a big seller, no big deal. Go to the post office. But you need to pack that shirt up. And I typically have people there tracking before they've even paid me, Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa. That's how fast I am. Like, because I expect the same service, okay? I'm a fast shipper. So even when I had to go to the post office, my wife, that's why she bought me the printer. She was like, I'm not sure if you're going to the post office or not. Like, so she's like, we'll fix this. And she brought me the printer because every day after I sold shirts that day, I drove to the post office, which it was a lot closer than it is now. So now I get a pickup every day, literally from the post office. But so, and when you pack up the shirt, Ollie, you need to inspect it. It is your responsibility as the seller. I don't care if you bought it from somebody else and you just made the assumption because you never wore it, so you didn't look at it. Your obligation to me as the seller is to inspect it before you send it to me to make sure that it is, as you promised, excellent used condition, because every damn body on BST thinks their shirt is EUC. Okay? And I have gotten shirts that are not EUC. And unlike most people, I will give you a chance to rectify it. I will inbox you and say, hey, I did it the other day. Got some shirts and there was piling everywhere. Everybody knows I'm a bougie BST-er, okay? If something's wrong with my shirt, you're going to know it when I post it. If I catch it before I send it to you, I'm going to reach out to you. I'm going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to back out of the sale and get a full refund, or we can work on a discount. I am not going to send you something knowing there's piling all over it, okay? The guy made it right. He said, how can I make it right? Here's how you can make it right. Because I now have to take my time and try to clean the shirt up to see if I can get it in wearable condition for myself. So it is your responsibility as a seller to make sure you check the shirt before you sell it. Are you going to miss some stuff? Absolutely. But to tell me you didn't look, that's unacceptable to me. Pack it up, get it packed. Oh, let's talk about packaging real quick. Whoa. I remember getting a whale in the Roosevelt bag. No, not the one that you, not the shipping bag, the one that we all use to pack our stuff in when we go on vacation.
The
it
clear
was
bag.
In the clear bag with a label on the top, and I thought I was going to lose it.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. I thought I was going to lose it. I didn't lose it. The shirt was fine. But don't do that. Why would you take the risk of shipping a shirt? Anything over $100 for me is special care. Okay, anything over 300, I don't even use UPS anymore, USPS. I don't use the post office. I will go with UPS, and I ship in a box. I just got bats, snacks, and We Are Groot. And the seller will tell you, I was like, hey, I need you to ship that to me in a box, and I need it to go UPS. And he's like, I will send you a label. You're going to pay for it, but I will send you the label to go UPS because, again, I just don't trust the post office that way with expensive shirts. And UPS is going to get it there faster, and a box is less likely to get lost than a bag. So
good tip.
Heavy-duty shipping bags are the key. I use a really heavy-duty one. And insurance. Why would you sell a $500 shirt and not buy insurance on it is above my comprehension. You gotta have insurance, people. It is so much cheaper to get the insurance than to come out of your own pocket. I mean, unless you're balling like that and you can afford to give a $500 shirt away, then you do you, boo. But anything over $100 out of my house is insured fully.
As it always. Should be. So always. I had an interesting interaction. I had a guy who had bought plenty of shirts from me before. Okay. He had bought some Kevin Smith shirts from me, and I sent him as a bundle. I even threw in, I had the Kevin Smith flag. Mm-hmm. So threw that in there with it, sent it off. He was a previous buyer from me, so his address was preloaded in Pirate Ship. Another tip too, right? Use Pirate Ship. And, you know, I looked at it. I looked at the address. Oh, yeah, that sounds familiar. Put it in the mail. Gone, right?
He moved.
No, he didn't move. Oh. I trusted Pirate Ship to repopulate exactly the address that I had before. And it was the same exact address in a different state.
Wow.
I want to say he was in, I can't remember. We'll just say Iowa. And okay. It went to Connecticut. Or maybe it was the other way around, right?
Right.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm really hope I filed a tag with USPS. Like, hey, this went to the wrong address. And all I really did was say, hey, man, I don't know how this happened. I said, I'd like to wait a few days and see if USPS gets back to me or if the person who got it just does like return to sender and then I'll make sure it gets out to you or whatever. So time goes on. He's super patient. He's in no rush, which I really appreciated. And yeah, nothing. Crickets. And so he's like, hey, just checking in if you'd seen anything. I said, nah, USPS didn't get back to me. It didn't show up. I said, this was like a Friday. I said, you know what? If it doesn't come Monday, if I don't have anything Monday, I'll give you full refund on Tuesday. He's like, cool. That sounds great. Sunday night, he got tracking from UPS, not USPS, UPS from Connecticut. He's like, I didn't order anything from Connecticut. I have no idea. And the people I accidentally sent it to sent it to him. They must've looked him up, found his address, and they sent it to him.
Nah, so I know what happened there. It's happened before.
Oh,
I had the same thing happen in Boston. We had the same street address exactly as somebody else, just a different state and zip code. And we got their stuff several times. And it's easy to look up somebody on the internet and then you can forward it through UPS.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that you got lucky. I mean, hopefully it was a cheap shirt either way. But
good people in this world. Good people.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had my worst BST experience was I bought a 24K from a guy that I had done business with for years.
Oh, I remember this one.
Oh my God, years. So I used family and friends. I didn't have a reason. I had done so many transactions with this guy. There was no need for me to do goods and services. Like it just wasn't. And I got the shirt and it was, oh, I can't even say the word. It was disgusting. It was by no means at the value of what he charged me. And so I reached out to him very politely, basically said, yo, this is not acceptable. I'm going to return it to you. And I did just that. I returned it to him. And when he got it back, so he would avoid me. And then he basically said, well, I didn't tell you could return it. And I said, you don't get to tell me whether I can return it, dude. This is not what you said it was. You said the shirt was in excellent use condition. The armpits are horrible. Bolts everywhere are gone. Anyway, he would not refund me. So I got lucky. Very rarely do I use my credit card, but I did for part of the transaction. So the Venmo, I was basically shit out of luck. But my credit card, because I had proof of delivery, I had all of the pictures, and I had the conversation between me and him and the receipt that it showed that I returned it back to him, I was able to get some of my money back. But that was probably the most hurtful transaction to me because I had done so much business with him, i.e. whether it was me selling to him or him selling to me. So that was probably the most disappointing as a buyer. As a seller, I had a guy where I was the in-between for some con shirts. And he had paid really good money for these shirts. We had insurance, but he really wanted the shirts. You know how, like, something's, but you're like, no, like, I really want the shirts. I don't want my money. I need the shirts. It was one of those situations. He was probably the most patient person ever. And so one of the things any buyer will tell you is I will refund you immediately. I'm not going to make you wait. I'll do the claim if I need to. I'll do the claim if you don't want to do the claim. And so that's what I did. But he did the claim, but I had already given him his money. And so he reimbursed me when he got the money back. But I mean, that process probably took, because he was very patient. Jacksonville mail is just horrible, very slow. He probably waited. God, that transact whole thing was probably a month and a half. Again, I paid him immediately. And so I encourage people, like, when your BST sale, because listen, we all talk to each other, okay? It's not a secret. And so the last thing you want to do is get a bad name if you plan to sell stuff. Like, once you get a bad reputation, forget it. It's just like people that flip stuff and they're like, I'm not flipping. Like, bruh, they know you just brought that shirt off of wherever. And the thing is, there's no problem with that, but you got to be able to take what you're given. That's sure. all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you can't. I think the biggest thing for me, like, is remember it's a community of people, and whether it's on BST or on Insiders, you're doing things publicly, you're posting publicly, and people mm-hmm. will remember. And are a number of people that post these, like, stories, and I have to sell all my shirts because my car or this or that or the other mm-hmm. thing. Then they're upcharging $300, $200, $100 for this stuff. And then the next week they're posting on Insiders about the new drop they just bought and how excited they were. So you were poor last week and on your last dime, but now you're buying this week. It's transparent. Everybody sees that. So
that's probably one of my biggest pet peeves. I block people because of it, because it infuriates me that's why I say, just leave it out. Leave the sympathy out that you need to pay your bills, because you need to pay your bills today, and then tomorrow you're begging people to sell you a shirt that you are only going to buy at for as less as you can from them, and then next week you're going to try to flip it because you say you need to pay bills. Like, I can't deal with that. Like, if you're flipping, just flip it. Again, I never tell you a reason other than I'm chasing a whale. Or I got what I needed in my size. I got an extra large, because I'll buy a 2X or a large in a minute and wait for an opportunity to get it in a large. I just recently sold my 2Xs because my wife is like, this is ridiculous. So you're either going to tailor them or you need to pass them on to someone else. And I chose, because when I was a 2X, it was a beast trying to get whales, and Michael Bolin makes me feel bad about cutting, about tailoring clothes. So I just went ahead and sold them, and I've already replaced them in extra large. So yeah, I don't want to deal with people like that. You know, I'm an honest person and I want to deal with honest people. And saying that you're broke this week and starving and living paycheck to paycheck and then bragging. And I think, honestly, James, I think people forget what they said.
Yeah.
Like, I think they just forget.
Could be, yeah.
I think you just brought up another good point for a good tip for BSTers is don't be afraid to buy a shirt you really want that's one size out of your range, because you can trade up and you can trade down.
Yeah.
Only one, though, James.
Yep,
only one. You can't get, like, a small and think you're going to find an extra large guy. I don't have smalls sitting around my house. But I might have a 2X if you're an extra, you know, if you're a 2X guy and you need a 2X and maybe you bought the extra large. Now we're in business.
Yeah. So I did. Now, I did buy a small flamingo about 2 years ago, and it took me a few months and I was able to trade it for a medium, and then it took me a few months and I was able to trade it for a large, and it took me a few more months and I was able to trade it for an XL. And again, and then guess what happened? They dropped it in Kunu.
They dropped it in the
And James, so all, James is out all, $60 in shipping costs already.
All that effort for all that flipping.
It you know what, forever. James, though, one thing I admire about you is you have the patience of a saint. And I admire that about a lot of people. There are a lot of BST guys that just have the patience of a saint. I don't. I'm
going
to give it to me now. I don't care what it costs, guy. You know, tell me.
Yeah.
Now, one thing, though, I won't overpay, though, now. I know the market. I probably have a pulse on the market like no one else. So, like, you're not going to charge me more for an extra large than I know what I could get or what I got a 2X for. Like, I've got that common sense now. But, I'm a fair man. I always tell people, like, I'm a fair man. Let's talk about buying real quick, because there's a couple of things that people do when buying that I think it needs to be a tip. If I list a shirt, don't offer me $30 less for it when I just posted it. Like, I'm on market, and I got to tell you, nothing gives me more satisfaction than someone coming in and lowballing me right at the beginning, and I sell the shirt 2 minutes later at what I posted it for. I am pretty on market. Every now and then, I might go a little high because I expect that people will. So Kraken was one. I don't expect Kraken to sell for $2,000. That's maybe what it takes to get it from me type of thing. But, like, people typically get insulted by that. And I'll tell you, they will stop selling to you. They will ignore your PMs. I'm guilty. I have said to people plenty of times, oh, you're too late. It already sold. Just because I don't want to sell to you. Like, you devalue, it's like you don't appreciate this shirt enough that you would offer me, I got it for $200 and you're offering me $100. Like, it's almost like I'm personally offended that you think the shirt's only worth $100. And I get that it's only worth $100 to you, but, like, I posted it for $2. So either wait it out, because most people do that with me. I know that you guys sit there, you wait, because you're like, Aaron's going to drop the price. So nothing gives me more pleasure than when you do that. The shirt is gone and you inbox me because you think maybe I just took it down. And I'm like, oh no, that's sold. Like, nothing satisfies me even more than that. So another thing is,
Aaron's got a little mean streak in him. I like it.
Yeah, when you buy something, pay for it. Pay for it. My biggest pet peeve is when people are like, they're like, they type me a whole thing. Hey, I'm at work in a meeting. I'll pay you. You could have paid me by then, bro. no. Pay, because what happens is I hold it for you. And then you change your mind, and I miss my actual sale because the guy that I was going to sell it to, he's already brought another shirt. And that's what happens with me. I will inbox you and say, hey, if you get to 50 on this shirt, I'm a buyer. I'm not asking you to lower your price for me. I typically know that you're too high, although someone may buy it. Again, the shirt might be worth it to them, but it's not worth it to me. So I'm okay, letting it go. But yeah, you need to pay people. Like, don't drag your feet.
Don't make them wait.
To your point, this is not 1820 in Little House on the Prairie. You're not taking the wagon into town once a week to get your silver pieces, right? It's all Venmo. It's all PayPal. It's all Cash App or Zelle. You just hit the button. Right, you're not going to the bank. You're not making a withdrawal. Like, and here's the thing: if you don't have the money at that moment, don't buy.
Oh, or don't PM me if you're not. Oh, here's another one: talk to me when you're ready to buy. Don't PM me asking me 50 million questions and then saying, "Oh, well, if you still have it on Friday," like I'll tell you. I am, and people probably hate that, but like I'm a businessman on BST. I'm not there to be your friend. I don't want to talk to you about 50 million other things. I'm trying to sell stuff. So when I finish this call with you guys, I'm going to go. I got a lot for my client of 2Xs, okay? I'm in sell mode, bro. Like, I'm making money to pay for shirts that I want. So I don't want to talk to you about the weather. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a businessman when it comes to BST. Do I do people favors? Absolutely. Do I hook people up? Yes. You know why? Because people have hooked me up. So I am more than fair with most of my pricing. Am I high sometimes? Yes, but that's because my dumb self paid more for it, right, than it was worth. And, you know, the BST market is up and down, guys. You can buy a shirt today for $500, and tomorrow it's only worth $75. Like, that's just how the cards roll. Or you can buy it today for $300, and 2 weeks from now, it's going for $5. It's just how it works.
Yeah. So, if you guys don't mind, you mind if I cut into the ball game and whale hunter show we have here today?
Come on
Absolutely.
In.
All right.
Something, Aaron, you said in one of my first interactions with you, I think we were actually doing a virtual happy hour. And as you were introducing yourself, you know, I came for the shirts and I stayed for the people. Mm-hmm. And that was my first like kind of interaction with, you know, insiders in a large capacity. It was just a Zoom call. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I've met a couple people, but nothing I'd stick around for. But as time went by, that became more and more true. It's like, yes, the shirts are fun, right? And the BST, the chase of a shirt. I mean, sometimes the chasing a shirt is more fun than when you actually get it. Like, you know, the journey is, you know, half the fun or whatever. But, you know, I love that part about it. But when it comes down to it, the people are the best. And how many people have I sold shirts to that later became friends? Roger Maronis. That guy bought half of my closet. Hadn't even met the guy. And now I have met him in person, and he's one of the most amazing people I've ever met.
Amazing.
So when you're on BST, folks, you know, keep in mind, like, yeah, it might just be a shirt you're buying and or selling today, but you know what? You might be in that guy's wedding in a year from now. You have no freaking idea what that person's going to be to you. No idea whatsoever.
Or so, you're flying to California and spending thousands of dollars to go to their wedding reception. I went to Michael Poling's last year before. You know, I've been to. So actually, interesting story. The Wolfpack, which is a group of us, small group. I met Max because I sold him Jackson, I think the same shirt we wore our first time in Phoenix together. I sold him that shirt. And when I pulled in, I was late getting in. When I pulled into Hoboken at the hotel, he was out there waiting on the ride to go to the beer swap that I was very late for, by the way. But anyway, they won't let me live that down. And he was like, hey, what's up, Aaron? I'm like, hey, like, you know, again, this is my first meetup. He's like, you sold me a shirt on BST. And I'm thinking like, man, I sold 50 million shirts. He's like, Jackson, you sold me this shirt, actually. It was the shirt he was wearing. And I was like, oh, yeah, how's it going, man? You know, like, all these people that I know, but I don't know. But a lot of people, especially my 2X friends, we certainly met, 2X and 3X, we certainly met from, started talking from a BST interaction, and then it went from there. But what I mean is they're not like, inboxing me in the middle of me in a selling spree asking something, right? This is like afterwards, and they're like, hey, I got the shirt, man. And then they'll ask me about something else, right? And then we start to go from there. And typically, I consider it a friendship when we're talking about things other than shirts.
Right.
And so if that's all I can talk to you about, I don't really consider us friends. But when people start asking me to pray for their wives because they're going through something, they're having a medical thing, or we're talking about your kid and them behaving or misbehaving, or when we're having those personal conversations, when I know your kids by name, when I know that Saturday you spend all damn day going to water polo and I don't know, everything else that Rux does on the baseball field, or when you're at Disney with your kids or you're camping for the weekend, like when I start knowing that stuff, that's when we're friends, right? We're more than just shirt nerds. Friends, we're actually like friends. Like, I care about you and I care about your family and I care about the well-being. And so that is definitely what got me into this. If you had told me 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that some of my best friends would come from a shirt nerd, a company that sold, you know, pop culture shirts, and that I would travel the world literally to meet up with people, to hang out, to talk about shirts, to drink, to get drunk, to have karaoke, to share good laughs and good food, I would have been like, you're nuts. Like, that is certainly not happening. But it has. And man, I feel so blessed to have had the opportunity to meet some of the people that I have met. And what's interesting is, Also, how you can tell a friendship is, you know, people come and go, you said, like on BST, but people come and go in the Roosevelt community as well, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's because they get mad, they outgrow the shirts, or whatever the case may be. And so I've noticed that some people, it was like just a shirt friendship, because now that they're not in it, we're not friends. Like, we're right. not talking or having that conversation. And that makes me sad sometimes, but it's just a part of life. It's, you know, some people are, I can't remember the saying, but it's like season, reason, or lifetime. And, you know, I have some friends now that I pray are for a lifetime and not just a season or a reason, but I accept the ones that are just for the season and the reason as well.
And, you know, and those seasons, I've talked about this before too, is that the seasons can be brief, but a season can be 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's a lot of what I like to call intersecting friends, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to intersect for a brief period of time, right? And there's nothing wrong. Like, there's no reason like you stop being friends or anything like that. It's just at that moment in time, it aligned and you were friends. But you know what? Life moves us away from each other and that changes.
Absolutely.
I would say at the end, you know, you're at the end of your life, you probably had 2-3 maybe true lifetime friends.
Yes.
And that's okay. Like, some people, that might make them sad, but to me it's like, man, to only have one lifetime friend would be amazing, you know? So I guess what I'm trying to say is, most of us are in a season. Enjoy the season. Enjoy that friendship.
Absolutely.
While you have it. Don't take it for granted, you know, and don't be upset if you just have an intersectional friend, you know, if it's just we were friends for a couple of weeks and then not really, that's okay too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, I think the shirts are a catalyst, right? It's a connecting point where, like Ollie said, just an intersection of like 5 billion roads come together, bringing all types of different people from different backgrounds, different personalities, and we all come together. And for a lot of us, like, these shirts are the starting point, but it's not the end destination. And we
Absolutely.
Do grow. We do grow. We learn about each other. And like Aaron said, your chat jumps out of BST, or you're texting, or you're talking on the phone, you're Skyping, your video. Did I just say Skyping? No one Skypes anymore. you're jumping on calls, and you're connecting beyond shirts. You're connecting about, like what you said, Aaron, like, you know about people. You know, we know what's going on. Like, you know what your spouse does. You know what your father-in-law's up to. You know things about people. They become friends. They become family.
Absolutely.
And it's a beautiful thing. And then sometimes you move away from people, and that's okay too, because there's just different people, different strokes for different folks. And so that's all good. It's a beautiful community, beautiful people. And I like that, stuck out to me too. Come for the shirts, stay for the people.
And
absolutely.
That's really what this whole podcast is about. Yeah. We talk about the shirts, 'cause, you know, again, like James says, that's the catalyst, but you know, Ballgame and I really wanted this to be a place for insiders to come to, right? Not necessarily people like wanting to know about the shirts, or, you know, it's not like we're going to get like, HQ is not going to give us intel on upcoming drops or anything like that. So you're not coming to us for hard hitting news here, right? But it's, I think really it's for us to celebrate the people and kind of the culture around Roosevelt's and what they've created. So, you know, we did our artist series because it was really interesting to get to talk to all those folks. And, you know, the insider series that we started here is just a chance for, you know, we see pictures of each other, you know, and all that. And you're like, oh, I see that face all the time. You know, Aaron, you get that crap all the time. Oh, Aaron's out here in the, you know, just every shirt, every day, like, whatever, who cares? Like, but like the few of us that actually get to talk to you in person and actually, you know, have that relationship with you, you know, this is a chance for people who may never actually make it to a meetup, who may never actually meet the whale hunter, they get to hear his voice and his thoughts on things. And and to me, I think that's cool. Like, let's face it, we have in our little pond, we have our own celebrities, right? We've got a Jake Holland, we've got a whale hunter, we've got a Pretty Ricky, you know, like, these are, you know, the people we see all the time that, you know, are celebrities in our little corner of the internet. So I have no idea where I was going with the segment, but I just
I think you hit on a good point. I love, and I'll be honest, I didn't listen to podcasts until you guys started one. And it's because I know you and I love you, right? But it's just not my thing, right? I know Rohit loves them. It's like his thing. So if it wasn't you, I probably wouldn't be listening, just to be honest. And obviously, I will share the hell out of this one. So I'm sure you'll get some new listeners, because even people that aren't in Roosevelt's will go listen. Nice. Not to toot my own horn, but they'll go listen just because I'm on there, right? People
we say toot our own saxaboom on this show.
Is that saxaboom? Okay. But I think it's a great opportunity, because you're right. So many people invite me to come to their meetups, but like, I can't go everywhere. Like, I'm not rich, even if my closet makes you think I am. I'm not rich, so I can't go everywhere. I try to support people that obviously have come to Jacksonville. I want to do my best to support them when they're doing a meetup or whatever. And not to say that I won't come just because you haven't come to mine, but you know, my priority are people that have, you know, spent the money and came down here to Duval. But I think it is, I love this podcast. I love the artist series. I actually did listen to that, because I love most of the artists that you had on there. So it was great to hear them and be able to talk to them, because when you go to cons, you don't get that opportunity. Luckily, Josh Campbell, I was lucky to have him last year at the Jacksonville meetup. And so I got to talk with him and get to know him a little bit better. But love the insider one, because there are people that I'll never get to meet. And I hope that people learned a little bit about my insight on BST, because obviously I can't talk to everybody every day. And some people will think it's a cocky type of perception, and I get that. I always tell people I'm not everybody's cup of tea. But, you know, for the people that like the tea that I'm giving, you know, you either, here's the thing, you either love the whale hunter or you hate him. And I get it. It's okay. I get that people don't like that people love me. My mother has always said I never knew a stranger, and that kindness was just a trait I was born with. I literally try to treat everybody, even unkind people, which is hard, but I even try to treat them kind. And I think, you know, a lot of times people will sell to you, well, it's because I'm actually a good person. Like, I'm genuinely a good person, and I will help you, you know, if I can. And if I can't help you, I'm also a straight shooter, though. You guys know that, because we're in a chat. Like, I will tell you what it is and what it's not, you know?
You only get the truth when you talk to Aaron, and I appreciate that.
So, Aaron, you mentioned con, so I do want to pivot. We got a nice con coming up this weekend, Emerald City Comic-Con is happening up in the great state of Washington in Seattle. You got your eye on any of those shirts that we got previewed the other day?
I do, man. I have a rule of thumb where I always want to capture them all if I can, because unfortunately, I haven't lost that. So I am definitely a exclusive guy. I do not. Let's talk about another whale in the room. I know we're probably coming up on time, but I don't want what everybody else can have. Okay, I am an exclusive guy, and if Roosevelt's ever gets to the point to where there aren't exclusives, or exclusives are like 3,000 shirts, and every time I walk in Disney, everybody's got on a Hiya Pal from Chicago, I'm not buying it. So I typically buy all of the con shirts unless I know, like, it doesn't matter, I don't like it. I would rather buy it and then help someone who wanted it, who couldn't get it, than to pay more later when it becomes a whale. Think about Kraken. I paid retail for my Kraken. Am I going to sell it to you for retail? Of course not. It's also one of my favorite shirts, but for $2,000, yes, you can have it. So just saying. But I am looking at, I have to have that floral. I think you know this. I am an original guy. That floral in the
Kraken color floral, yep.
I cannot wait. That's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it the Kraken floral, just like I call the Jacksonville shirt the Duval floral. I think the colors are going to be even better in person. I think they're really going to pop. The Star Wars shirt, it's black and white. Kind of reminds me of the London one that everybody's looking for now. That was a sleeper as well. People didn't really want it. I think that's going to be a nice shirt. And then I actually think the Batman shirt, surprisingly, I think the colors are great, and I think it's going to end up being a sleeper as well. So I've got my eye on all three if I can get them, and we'll see what I like and what I don't like. I'll get rid of what I don't like. I'm actually going to be in Cleveland, and Cleveland is having a outpost. And so hopefully I'll be able to help my friends, because I pretty much have all the whales. So hopefully I'll be able to help some folks by getting some whales there if they put them out. And HQ, if you're listening, I'd love to see the MC carpet shirt there. I'm just saying, I'd love to see that there. I know there are all these things, but maybe that'll be worked out by April. At least I would hope so.
Well, I would say, you know, if HQ just really wants to stick it to the airport there in Florida, send a couple over here. We'll wear them on our podcast. We'll post some pictures. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
We'll help them out. We'll get the word out.
Heck yeah. So, Aaron, you said that Batman shirt, and that's the one, like, in the teaser image that we just – it's not a very clear picture of what it is.
Yeah, it never is, Ollie.
And that's the one I was like, man, this could be really cool. It could be terrible, but it looks like it could be really cool with a lot of fun detail. And so that one is the one I'm probably the most interested in. Like, I know what the Kraken floral is, right? I know what that is.
Right.
And then the black and white Star Wars. Were you talking about the schematics one?
Yes. Yeah.
Which to me, like when I first saw that one too, I was like, it's kind of boring. Like
everybody was.
And like, I want to say I saw one going for like $300. I was like, oh, maybe I misjudged. I think it's because it's rare. It's limited. It's rare. And you had to get it from London. And, yep.
Wasn't schematics Toronto?
Was it?
The black shirt.
It's one of the two of them. It's definitely over the seas.
I think London was Endor, Camo, and Stormtrooper Celebration. And I think schematics was Toronto or Calgary.
Could be. Anyways, that's beside the point.
Sorry.
Either way, it's over the pond, so it ain't easy to get, that's for sure.
So also a little heads up here, because Celebration is in Tokyo next year. And talk about – those are going to be hard to get. Those are going to be tough shirts to get our hands on, because it's so much less expensive to fly to the UK than it is to fly to Tokyo. So I'm curious to see who goes and what those shirts wind up going for, because they're going to be very difficult to get.
It's on my list. I'm working with Kevin Wilcox to see like what the average cost would be for me to go. The problem is he says I need to go for 2 weeks, and I don't know if I can do that. Because I'm already over there and I'm probably never going back. You know what I mean? It's like one of those type of situations. I'm actually trying to go to what's in London this year. God, what is it called? I can't think of it, but Roosevelt will be there. I'm actually trying to merge that with a work trip.
Oh, nice.
So we'll see. We'll see. Well,
London is much easier from you out of Duval than Tokyo is.
Yeah.
Also, and I would actually go to MCO.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
To get a direct flight, yeah.
So you gave a shout out to Kevin Wilcox, A Disney Kind of Life. Everybody give them a follow. Awesome, awesome couple over there. So just had to give them a little shout out.
Yes, that's my Disney guy there.
Yep. Awesome. All right. So Aaron, this
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ollie.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Where are we shifting to?
I was say we're going to shift real quick because we are getting close to time. And I know Aaron's a busy man. He's got to make some sales. I just want to jump into our five questions and we'll make it quick. Okay.
Boom, boom, boom. Let's go.
All right. So Aaron, here we go. Question number one for the Whale Hunter. If we gave you $50,000 to start a business, which business would you start?
I would start a hat company catering to big heads, because there's a market there that hasn't been tapped into.
So hats for people with fat heads.
Yep.
Mike Loesch, I hope you're listening, because we got one for you. Now, not to be confused with the big hat company. Have you seen those like bobblehead hats?
Yeah, not to be confused. No, this would be regular ball caps, but just ones that fit people with bigger size heads than normal people like me with small heads.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
I dig it. All right, Aaron, I'm going to put you in a death match now, okay?
Okay.
You're going to fight to the death. Now, I'm going to give you your choice of what you're going to fight. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
One horse-sized duck.
Oh.
Easily.
I wholeheartedly disagree, but we'll go with that. That's fine.
One, I don't care how big it is. One thing is easier to fight than 100 things. Ollie, come on.
But they're duck size. You're just kicking horses around. Like, fine, whatever.
What's the Jurassic Park movie where they see the one little lizard and she's like, "Oh, look how cute this is," and then there's like 100 of them. Like, that's what I see exactly. Ollie with these miniature little horses. Oh, look at this one little horse.
What is a duck size horse gonna do to me,
bro? There is power in numbers, bro. Those things will eat you up. I'm sorry, I'll take the one big giant.
I don't know. I could see you getting quacked up though, pretty quick, Aaron, with a giant duck though, giant mallard chasing Aaron down the street.
So, total side note, talking about giant animals, did you guys see that the largest snake ever was just discovered in the Amazon? I saw the video, and I'm terrified of snakes. It's an anaconda. It is 26 feet long. It weighed over 1,000 pounds.
Wow.
And it is as big around as a car tire.
Jesus.
And that is crazy.
The video is pure nightmare fuel. Like, they're like swimming with it in the river. I was like, nope, I'm out, done.
All right, Aaron, question number three. This is a quick one, right? You have to, you get elected president of the United States, but it's contingent on you have to eliminate one state from the United States. Which state are you eliminating?
Ew, and why is it Texas?
Oh.
Yeah. James, if you asked me this question at different times in my life, it'd probably be a different state.
Yep.
Today, if you ask me today, I'm going to say Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because you're asking me today. Tomorrow, yep. I could go back to Florida, believe it or not. Like, it just depends on the time of year, actually.
Yeah. And I think we all know why Oklahoma. There was some pretty upsetting news coming out of Oklahoma this weekend.
Yeah, it's just not humane. Humane.
Treat people, love everybody, let people love who they love. Bottom line.
That's it.
Okay. Aaron, question number four. If you were a salad, what type of dressing would you want put on you?
Oh my gosh. This could go real sideways.
What kind of dressing would I want put on?
We're gonna keep this PG, folks.
Okay. Let's go with Italian.
Oh, all right.
Hey now.
Zesty Italian. Zesty Italian.
Wow.
Gotta have all the seasonings.
That is Ball Game's other nickname, Zesty Italian.
Oh, hey now. All right. Ollie, I'm gonna let you answer that one too.
Oh, man. Okay, so if I were a salad, so I'm a weird, weird dude. I like my salad with a little bit of olive oil and then lemon juice squeezed on top. That's it.
So basic. I knew you were gonna say that.
Oh, man. Jeez.
You're just like eat me in every sense. Like, you don't need any. I want you to actually taste the lettuce and the, I get it, man. It's all good.
Now, okay. So when I was a kid, I really did like Catalina salad.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Yeah. I had that last night, actually.
And someone tried to give me French dressing and they told me it was just like Catalina. That is a lie. Do not listen to that person. That is a lie. It is not Catalina.
No, definitely not. That's funny.
Well, about you, James? Let's round this one out. What about you?
I'm gonna go with the creamy French dressing.
Creamy French, okay.
Creamy French. And I'm gonna give you a pro tip. If you like having taco salad, put creamy French dressing on it sometime.
Okay.
It's something I got. My wife's family makes taco salad, but they put French dressing on it. But if you put the creamy French on it just changes it completely. So if I were a salad, lather me up with creamy French dressing. If I were a salad.
Only if you're a salad.
All right. Okay. Last question for you, Aaron. What would you title your autobiography? If you were writing a biography, what would the name of it be?
God.
Well, this is tough. This actually takes thought.
Yeah.
As opposed to what salad dressing would you put on yourself?
Let's see. Maybe Change Starts With Me.
Oh,
he went deep. I like it.
I like
that. Change starts with me. Yeah. I think we as people underestimate how much power we really have to make a change. And that every little thing that we change is a difference in someone else's life. So, yeah.
I can't end a show better than that. Can you ball game?
I don't think we can. I think that sums it up. That's beautiful.
Hey, guys, I before you go, I really want to thank you for the opportunity to come on. I think everybody knows I love to talk. So appreciate the opportunity. I'm sure this will open up some more invitations. Actually, I got one before, and no one knew I was doing this. So I got an invite to go on someone's. It's in person, but we'll see if this starts my fandom on my career on podcast. Yes, and I owe it all to See Nobody Cares.
See,
well, you know, Jake Holland only had like 15 followers when he was on here, and you should check out his followers now. He's like in the millions. So we are
nice.
We are the launch pad of careers here, man.
Sounds good, man. Maybe my TikTok views will go up.
All right. Well, you friends, you heard it here first. Change starts with me, or change starts with you. Be kind to everybody, love everybody, respect everybody. We were listening today to The Whale Hunter. He's Ollie. I'm Ballgame, and thanks for listening.